I want to tell you about a personal experience of mine that I've mentioned in the past, I am certain. When I was growing up, I was taught not to use titles as such to refer to preachers. I don't mean to say you couldn't refer to preachers as what preachers are, but not to use simply titles as are so often designated for that kind of work. I was taught, rather, to use terms that referred, from a biblical perspective, to relationship with the person, or function, or work, or responsibility, such as evangelist, or you could refer to anybody in the body of Christ as your brother or sister, and that kind of thing. And to function or work and relationship, the idea of an evangelist or a preacher, or even in some senses of the term, the word minister applies. In 1972, I moved from Florida to Eastern North Carolina to work as a preacher or evangelist in that area there. And one day I was in a restaurant in the area there, and I met a preacher from a denominational group. He was sitting up at the lunch counter, and I'd been sitting at a table, and I went up to pay, and for some reason or another, we got to talking to one another and indicating who we were, where we, you know, what we did, and that kind of thing. And he said to me, "I'm glad to meet you. I'm Reverend Scott." And I want to tell you that it caught me by surprise. One of the reasons that it caught me by surprise is that I was fairly used to hearing in the community around where communities around where I'd been, preachers referred to as by various designations or titles. And one of those was Reverend. I was not unaccustomed to that at all, hearing preachers referred to as Reverend so-and-so. But I don't believe I had ever before that heard someone say or had someone introduce himself to me as Reverend so-and-so. And it was kind of a thought process that hit me anew, because it's one thing for someone to refer to someone else by designation like that. It took on a new meaning for someone to say to me, "I am Reverend so-and-so." Today, we want to talk just a little bit about the idea of the word reverend, or the title or designation, and raise the question from a biblical point of view, I trust, should preachers wear this title? Now, we could talk about a lot of other things, should preachers do or should Christians do, that are similar in vain, but we're talking now about this particular thing because it is so widespread that preachers in our community are referred to as Reverend so-and-so, or we say he is the Reverend so-and-so, or others say he is Right Reverend or Very Reverend so-and-so, or other designations along those lines. A long-standing practice in the religious community at large for that designation to be referred to. Let's talk about the meaning of the word just a little bit. From the Random House College Dictionary via the website BibleTruths.net, as it's from the dictionary, but it was quoted in that particular website. The word reverend can be defined in a fairly concise way: worthy to be revered, entitled to reverence, pertaining to or characteristic of the clergy. Now, the word reverend has in its history and in its etymology, has an adjective form that refers simply to someone as being honored or revered or that kind of thing. But it has come to be known most widely, I would say, with little question, in our English language, as a title or a designation for clergy. If you have the opportunity to compare the definition on Britannica.com, it says basically the same kind of thing. It refers to these same ideas that are involved there. The word itself has the idea to that which is to be revered, entitled to reverence. In and of itself, we have some designations in Scripture to, depending on the translation you're reading, referring to giving honor to someone who is deserving of it. But we're talking about the title or the designation of someone in what is generally known as the clergy or the ministry, or as to preachers and pastors, as they're generally known, as reverend. And that's what we're going to kind of home in on for the next few moments here this morning. Historically, from what I've been able to determine from various sources, Particularly one of those was ChristianDoctrine.net, but I didn't find anything anywhere that disagreed with this. Historically, around the 15th century A.D., the word reverend began to be used as a show of respect toward preachers, toward those who were referred to as clergymen. That's particularly the case in the, I think, in the Catholic faith, but others began to adopt it as well. From this particular website, this statement is made: the word is not found within the true church before that time. That's when you begin to hear preachers in at large referring to reverend, referred to as reverend. A little later on, a couple of hundred years later in the 17th century, reverend was used as a title in much the same way as doctor or captain was used in other spheres of life. However, by that time, by the 17th century, it was not so much a sign of respect as a declaration of rank. The point is that it has its use and is widely used to refer to a distinction in rank or in attitude toward those who are doing the work of preaching. When we had the pictures up and of what is generally known as clerical garb and that kind of thing, no doubt many thought of, when we asked the question what titles would be involved, one of the things that would come to mind in people's minds was that those folks are referred to as Reverend so-and-so. Some reasons that people often give for the use of the word reverend is that we have always called our preachers reverend. In other words, it's just a tradition. It's a tradition that we have in mind, and it's just a way of speaking to them and that kind of thing. And we'll kind of address that a little bit as we go along for the next few moments. Another one is, and you'll think of others besides the ones we list, but another one is that we need to set our preachers apart. In other words, there needs to be a clergy-laity distinction. And we need to consider whether or not that's good reasoning from a biblical point of view. And another one is, kind of along some of the things that we were discussing in our class in here this morning, those who were in here, the Bible does not say not to, and I raised the question as it was raised in her class on the subject of mechanical instruments of music this morning, or does it say not to in any sense of the term? So we've always called our preachers reverend. That's a tradition widely used. We need to set our preachers apart. That's the clergy-laity distinction. The Bible does not say not to call preachers reverend, and so we ought to feel at liberty to do it. These are some of the reasons that people give for referring to preachers as reverend. When we get to the biblical use of the word reverend, it is generally said that the place in Scripture where the word reverend is found is in Psalm 111 in verse 9. And I think that in most translations of Scripture, this is the only place that the word reverend is used. And in fact, it is not used here in numbers of translations. The passage says, by the way, this is a psalm of praise and adoration to God and dependence on Him. And verse 9 says in Psalm 111, He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. I quoted this, though most of my quotes are from the New King James Version. I quoted this from the King James Version because the New King James Version does not use the word reverend in this passage. And we'll look at what it does say in just a moment. But the point that I want to make with regard to this passage is that I believe personally, and I've seen others who said this, and I'd reached this conclusion before I remember hearing it from anyone else, that rather than this being a title for God, it is an adjective or a description of who God is. Holy is not what God's name is. God's name is holy. It can be described that way. But all the designations for God refer to the one who is holy. He is also to be revered. He is reverend. His name is honored and reverend. Strong's, in his dictionary of the Old Testament words, says that the word here is Y-A-R-E with the little diacritical mark there in the Hebrew, and it is a primitive root which means to fear morally, to revere, or to frighten. And it is translated in all these different ways. I think there are some 300 times in the Old Testament that this Hebrew word is used, and only once is it typically, if at all, translated reverend. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad translation. I think it is a good translation when you consider the meaning of the word reverend. I'm just saying that that's not the only way that word is used. It is translated in the King James Version by the words affright, be or make afraid, dread or dreadful, put in or fear, or fearful or fearfully or fearing. It can mean to be had in reverence, or it is translated to be had in reverence, or reverend, as we see in Psalm 111 and verse 9 in the King James and some other translations. And then terrible, etc. Terribleness, a terrible thing, a terrible act. Various ways in which it is translated. My point is simply this, that Psalm 11 in verse 9 tells us something very important about God. And what it tells us, that He is unique, He is holy and reverend, or we'll look at some other translations of the word to get a sense of who God is. In the King James Version, American Standard, it is reverend. In the New King James Version, New American Standard Bible, the New American Standard Bible, and the English Standard Bible, or English Standard Version, this word is translated in Psalm 111 and verse 9. Awesome. We often refer to our God as an awesome God. We sing the song sometime, "Our God is an awesome God." And that's the way that these translations, New King James, New American Standard, New International, and the English Standard Version, translate the word Yahweh, or something like that, in Psalm 111 and verse 9. It is translated in the Revised Standard Version as terrible. Our God is terrible. You think that is true? Well, not in the way that we usually use in our current vernacular, the word terrible, meaning that it's something really bad. That's sort of what we think of. But when something strikes terror, and you think about what is said over in Hebrews 11 to people who are rebellious against God and have turned away from Him, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Our God is indeed a God who can strike terror in the hearts of His enemies. He ought to be. He is reverend. His name is holy and reverend. And there is none like Him. None can compare. No God His equal, nor anyone His equal. We sing those lines as well. This takes us to the thought that if this is where we find the word reverend, even in some of the translations, we obviously don't find it in some places that, in light of common usage of that word, we would expect it to find it, including the description of people who preach. God, deity, is completely alone in the honor that is due. No title or designation, that should be, or designation, given to humans puts anyone on a par with God. He is unique. So while we talk about the idea that this is exclusive use and refers to God, the thing that is most critical about seeing Psalm 111 is the attitude toward God that is unique and distinct. And we could refer to our God as indeed reverend, awesome, in a way in which we could refer to no one else. Another very important point in considering the idea of whether or not we ought to call preachers reverend is what the Bible says about humility. Matthew 23, and we're going to take three charts to get the first 12 verses in front of us, so follow them closely with me if you will. We'll talk a little bit about this, those who are here Wednesday evening. Verse 1 beginning, Matthew 23. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to His disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves would not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi. For one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. I'll go ahead and read the rest of the passage and then come back to some of the thoughts there on that chart. Verses 11 and 12 say in Matthew 23, But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We could spend a lot of time beneficially talking about the rest of the chapter and how it fits in the book of Matthew and all of that. But notice that we have seen Jesus' point expressed in various places here, but it kind of seems to be summed up in verses 11 and 12. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. He goes through and points out there are certain attitudes that are seen in the religious leaders of that day who love to be seen of men. They do what they do in order to be seen by people. In other words, it's not God whom they're interesting first and foremost of pleasing. It's being honored by, received by, accepted by people, honored by them. They took their scriptures and made their little places where they kept their scriptures that they were learning and memorizing or whatever else they did with them, their phylacteries. They made those little boxes bigger and bigger so as to appear more and more knowledgeable and holy. The borders of their garments, they did the same kind of thing with that were designed to be seen as a representation of their spirituality. They liked to have the special places, the best seats in the synagogues. They like to be greeted with honor, is the implication, in the marketplaces. And to be called Rabbi, Rabbi, well, that word basically means instructor or teacher, that kind of thing. And when Jesus says, don't be called father, for example, when he goes along, he's not saying that it's wrong to refer to your physical father as your father. Or even we learn later that Paul saw himself in sort of a father role to some of the people that he taught. We could mentor or be a father in a spiritual sense to someone in certain areas, but not in the sense that it becomes a title that takes honor that is due God or draws honor to the individual. And these were not carrying out of responsibilities to God that caused people to regard these people as due honor. Give honor to whom honor is due, we're told over in Romans the 13th chapter. And we're told to esteem highly for the work's sake those who are doing the work of leading spiritually and such things over in 1 Thessalonians 5. But this kind of thing where people long for the titles and the places is really what Jesus is getting at here is do not seek honor for yourself and do not be called those kinds of things for the honor's sake. And then he says, and do not call anyone your father. And then he says, don't call anyone your teacher. You have one teacher who is Christ, which is a very important point. In the absolute sense, our only teacher is the Lord. We're told over in John the 6th chapter in verses 44 and 45 that we must, in order to come to Christ, be drawn by God through the teaching that God does. And that's through his word. So God is our teacher through Christ Jesus, our teacher, our instructor. So rather than seeking honor to ourselves, and by the way, we had the pictures on the beginning charts of people in special robes, special garb, and all that sort of thing. If this passage would restrict what we call ourselves because of an attitude of humility, it certainly ought to keep us from wanting to set ourselves apart or above someone else through the way that we adorn ourselves as well. And the point that we're going to make just a little further along really puts all of this in perspective, I think. But this particular passage helps us to remember that when we humble ourselves, God will exalt us. Someone says, well, you know, all we mean is that that person is worthy of honor and reverence because they do the work of the Lord. Well, why set them apart? Aren't there some other Christians who are honorable people? The point is that these are not ways in which God has called upon us to approach this matter. This matter of a clergy-laity distinction is completely artificial, not of God. When Jesus said in Matthew 23 that we just read that one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren, he is saying that while you may have, as we learn from other passages, different responsibilities that you carry out, it's not a matter of your seeking honor or veneration or somebody being on a higher plane before God or God preferring some above others. We are all on the same level before God. If an elder, for example, or an evangelist is doing the job that God has given him to do, he is faithful to God and is pleasing to God. If someone who is not fulfilling one of those roles, but is fulfilling his or her roles as a faithful Christian, they are faithful to God, and they're doing what God says, and they're pleasing to God. The point of those designations is not to try to set people apart from one another. It is to describe what we're supposed to be doing and how we serve one another, rather than how we get honor to ourselves. The clergy-laity concept is a holdover, in some respects, from the Old Testament priesthood. And it is also a concession to traditions of men of later times. And we pointed out that some say, well, you know, we won't call people that because that's a familiar term that we've used for a long, long time. And the fact of the matter is that if our traditions violate the will of God, we learn from Jesus himself that our worship is vain. Read Matthew 7 and the first 9 verses of that chapter. Our worship is vain. And we're told over in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, what kind of people we as children of God are, not just preachers or people who function in some particular capacity, but all who are doing the will of the Lord. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You're kings and priests, we're told over in Revelation, the 1st chapter, or a kingdom of priests, depending on the translation. You're a holy nation. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Notice the last part of that verse. All who serve as God's people are here to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of his darkness into his marvelous light, rather than to get praise to or for ourselves. What about this matter of reverend as a title for preacher? I think the most critical point, in keeping with the other points that we've been looking at, that would prohibit us from referring to preachers as reverend or any other thing that's not consistent with what God's Word says, is it's just not in the Bible. It takes us to the concept of 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6 when Paul writes to the Corinthian brethren, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." Don't go beyond, don't think beyond, don't try to do beyond what God has revealed. We're not to add to nor take from what God has revealed. And the familiar passage to many here in Colossians 3 and verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." In his name means consistent with his authority, consistent with his will. It's something that Christ has authorized that is pleasing to him that we can do by faith. And when we begin to manufacture honor, a distinction between clergy and laity, rather than we are all brethren serving in our various capacities as one, when we begin to manufacture titles that bring honor to men rather than to God, are we acting in the name of Christ? If so, prove it. Demonstrate it. You cannot prove that God wants us to designate or honor men in the ways that those kinds of things have come to do. Like I say, it's not just reverend many times. It's the right reverend or the holy and great or whatever else it is that goes with that territory. And as I said, when someone introduced himself to me in that way, it struck me anew. This wasn't just other people trying to call him or designate him. Even if the word is mean, even if the meaning of that word for someone, if that man who introduced himself to me that way, if he just meant that I am a reverent, holy, spiritually minded sort of an individual, does God call upon us to entitle ourselves that way? To call on ourselves, to give ourselves a title, and you're going to tell people, and should the brethren and the sisters where he preaches, so also, should they not, if he can call himself Reverend Scott, can't Brother Jones or Sister Smith refer to themselves as Reverend Jones? If that's what it means, it means clergy. It means special clergy is really what it means. And that's the way it's used. And there isn't any biblical basis for it. It's not there. Remember our list of reasons why, some reasons why people call people reverend? We've always called our preacher reverend. That's never been God's standard. There are a lot of things people have always done that they ought to quit doing right now. And I'd say this is one of them. Traditions of men are not the standard of God. We need to set our preachers apart. No, we don't. We need to do our work, but we don't need to be venerated above anyone. We need to be servants among the brothers and sisters. Our titles or designations ought to be descriptions of the function that God would have us to be. And by the way, one of the things that was discussed in various readings I was doing about this subject is that sometimes the word brother is almost a title for preachers. Brother means I'm your brother, you're my sister, you're my brother. We're one in the Lord. It's not a title, not setting us apart. The Bible does not say not to. Is just simply not a basis for doing something. If God has told us what to do, and I think we've seen ample reason here, when God's name is holy and reverend and unique, and when we are told to humble ourselves rather than seek honor, and when we are given the descriptions of the things that God wants us to do rather than all these things that people decide that we should do as the basis of our faith before God, really we see that God has told us what we ought to do, and by implication told us what we ought not to do. So these really don't hold up, nor does any other reason for it. Remember the passage we read in Psalm 111, we read just a little further into verse 10. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. The fear of the Lord is what's being discussed here in this context. And we don't fear people like we fear God. And we should not. We must not. Should we refer to preachers as reverend? I say no. And I can say so because God just simply has given us every reason not to. And no reason to do it. And that has implications for many other practices. The point is that we simply want to do what God is pleased with. And the only way we know that is what we read in his word. Could be that you've read in God's word that he wants you to become his child through a new birth, a birth of water and spirit, a birth that comes with a death to self and a surrender to the will of God and a walking with him in newness of life. Could be that you've gone astray and you want to come home. Jesus gave his life for us. Will you give yourself to him today while together we stand and sing a chosen song?